Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you for joining us. Joining me today is Sean Finnegan, Fran Mirabella.
Hello. Hey, Guardians.
And we're going to talk about the lore in Destiny, the upcoming big reveal, and how we think we could improve Xur, the weekend vendor.
That old chestnut.
Where can people watch our show?
Oh, everywhere, Destin. iOS, Android apps, we got that cooking. We got PlayStation 4, we got the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you can find us on YouTube /Fireteam Chat and everywhere in between. And podcast formats out there, obviously, as well.
Let's get right to it. The announcement that has everybody excited is the Destiny reveal stream Thursday, June 9th, 10 a.m. Pacific. You'll be able to check out that footage on IGN. But whatever it is, they say, save the date, follow our channel. Their Twitch channel, they mean. This will be your first glimpse at what awaits you later on this year, followed by a deeper dive with the development team. Is this Rise of Iron? Why are they doing it before E3? I was surprised when I heard about this.
Bungie, you should stream that on IGN. Yeah.
The only other announced content for later this year is Rise of Iron, right? And it's not even like...
It's not announced, actually.
No,
yeah,
it's like a leak. We expect it to be the expansion. So that makes me think that, this is a preview of Rise of Iron, right?
Yeah.
Last year, again, we talked about this last week, Taken King was revealed at E3 during the press conference. This is a bit of a surprise, that some publishers, like, there are some big game reveals happening before E3. Even this year, some publishers like to get ahead of the wave and fight through that just, like, clutter. And so one of two things happened, I think, and one is – because of the leak, they're like, you know what? Like, we just need to go. Let's get it out there. Let's at least, like, get a bunch of details because we don't even have that much time at, say, the Sony conference. Or they always planned it all along anyway. Mm-hmm. And this was, like, a big announcement they were saving. But it's totally the reveal of the next big expansion. And I think they just want to get the details out there. They'll leave a little something to the conferences.
They could show some screens and talk about the lore and what's going to be explored for an hour pretty easy, you know, for the hardcore fan base. Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that they're promoting a stream, to me, that says footage. We're going to see something.
Yeah, like playable. They didn't say that, but it seems – they say a deep dive with the team. And so, maybe they'll do the first demo. Like we talked about how we had a behind-closed-door session that we were able to – we couldn't record last year. That's right. Yeah. But maybe they'll do that this year. It's like, hey, here's a piece of the strike we're going to show you guys. But that's it. We're taking questions.
I'm not so optimistic just because based on what we've seen with the Bungie live streams in the past, like it's been on existing stuff, like never anything like really new. And it deals with stuff that's like more – for the hardcore audience, like art design that's, and all that stuff. But do not, you really think we're going to see like new footage of Rise of Iron?
Go all the way back to Prison of Elders, and they did do this for Prison of Elders. Granted, that was you know, it was a year ago, but they did. They remember they revealed like the first look at all the stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was no, that was it.
Was it Rift?
Right? I don't remember. I mean, we saw that was a year ago, myself, but yeah, no, remember we saw the sword on stream and like all that. Like that was like the first time we saw that stuff. I mean, God,
maybe it's like how the tower's changing, how they're adding raid weapons would be great.
It's too much to speculate. I think
a kiosk.
What would we want to see? You know, and like that's where for me, I
talked about that.
Well, no,
on
no,
the
I mean,
stream.
I mean, on the stream, yeah.
Yeah. How the tower's changing would be great.
Yeah, they're not going to go into that.
I would rather hope for minor details and stuff because I think I don't know if it's just. I don't know what it is, but I think big announcements, you should save them for E3 because there's no better way to cut through the noise than to be on stage at Sony, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But they're still potentially going to do that. I mean, they may have gotten cut out even. That could be it too. But
sure, but
I don't
you don't think
actually,
that like, maybe
on
a
that,
pre-reveal like, kind of takes away some of their thunder? Like that, steals their
I
own
do,
thunder?
I do. That, well, a lot of people are doing this too. Like the Watch Dogs 2 bag that got leaked. They just gave away the Watch Dogs 2 announcement for E3.
Oh, really?
You know? And it's just like, yeah, there's all this merch being sent out for Watch Dogs 2. And then Ubisoft's just like, oh, yeah, you're totally making Watch Dogs 2. And I'm like, well, there goes your E3 announcement. We're like, what are you doing? Like, what's your marketing team doing?
Yeah. But that, I mean, they didn't plan that, obviously. So nobody plans.
We don't know what they plan.
Well, I don't think
it wasn't a leak.
That.
They sent out Watch Dogs 2 merch to a bunch of influencers.
I didn't realize that. I totally missed that.
And people started posting photos of it. They're like, well, I guess Watch Dogs 2 is a thing. Here's a photo of my Watch Dogs 2 bag.
Is there like a logo and everything in there?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. That's amazing.
And Ubisoft commented. Yeah. They're like, we're super excited. We're going to announce more very soon.
Oh. Well, that was it. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that damages it, because we haven't seen anything from the game.
No, it's probably part of their strategy. But my point is just like, as you know, E3 is this time of year when you get all these big game announcements, big reveals, like twists and turns of games that we didn't know were coming, or like, you know, we finally get to see something we knew was coming. It just seems like that's the prime time to reveal the last big expansion before Destiny 2.
It is, but you don't know what they know and what, you know, what between all the publishers. They're all fighting for the biggest announcements. There's a ton of stuff, and it changes in real time even. I've known stuff to get pulled to minutes before and changed based on other people's conferences.
Totally.
My point is, like, Destiny, it's not like a huge, huge thing. I think it absolutely will still be there.
Destiny is a huge thing.
It is.
The biggest thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Fire Team Chat represents.
Yeah. Seeing a new, like, whatever, if they show some Last of Us 2 footage, like, that's huge and monstrous for Sony.
Oh, yeah.
And it's first party. Look,
or
I think
they
we're
release
getting,
No Man's Sky on time. No,
yeah,
I'm
I think
kidding.
We're getting a little off track, which is to say, first of all, what did we think the stream was going to be about? I actually think very clearly it will be a little, not super long, because they've done some of those that are not, like, crazy long. Closer to, maybe it's a 40-minute stream.
It'll be, like, close to an hour.
Yeah,
dude,
maybe.
They could just talk about
lore.
Let me finish. They could just talk about lore and show some concept art.
All right, let me finish with my idea, Destin. So they're going to come out. They maybe show like just a piece of the cinematic or something without showing, say, I don't know, if they're going to save the trailer for E3.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Let me
finish. So then they do that, but then they say, this is it. All right, quick note on why is it Rise of Iron? Okay, you heard the name. And here's quick overview. And they'll probably have a brief discussion. And then, hopefully, and that's where I'm not sure, they might be able to show us something. Because you're right, it's like a whole stream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're inviting potentially some annoyance, which is if you're going to, like, tune in and then they don't show you any gameplay, you're going to be like, fine, you told me what it was, but then, like, I didn't get to see gameplay. So I don't know on that. And then I think just a general discussion, on, like, why they really dove into Banner. And will or will they not talk about some features like, yes, like, the raid is coming. It's going to be our biggest raid ever. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But something like that without giving away, and that was my point. Some still reveal, I think, they'll save for E3.
Let's look at all the other reveal streams that they've done and all the assets that they have available to them to showcase. They've shown concept art when talking about new strikes and new story missions. They've shown how the tower transforms, new things that are in the tower, like new kiosks, how the rift changes, how characters in the tower and the rift now react to your presence.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to change in some way. I mean, just that alone, that's enough to fill an hour-long stream, and they have done it before. I mean, if you start going further, where you look at a new area or how something is going to change or some existing asset is going to change in the world. Maybe there's new world events. There's a ton of stuff.
Right,
that
but
they would have available to them.
They have to make it all the way to September or whenever, right? So what was the rumor? Like there was that number in – there was that post on Reddit. It was like September 19th or something like that. But anyway, they need – you just might have named all the stuff they will be doing until the game comes out. I mean obviously they've got to stretch the whole summer. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean –
they can fill an hour is all I'm saying.
I mean I don't know why we're worried about it. Like, that's
I'm not
where
worried.
I'm confused. It seems like we're mad and angry and worried about it. So.
I'm not mad or worried. I'm
How dare you reveal this to me before E3? You've ruined my E3. I think Sean said that. I heard him say it.
I definitely did say that.
I'm very surprised they're doing it. And one slight correction. Last week we said that Activision has a booth at E3. They don't have a booth. They have appointments that are like behind closed doors.
Yeah, so they call that a booth. It's a business center or whatever you want to call it.
But yeah, they do not have like a booth at E3. Like EA doesn't, Activision doesn't, and neither does.
I didn't realize that EA backed out – that Activision had backed out of like playable booth space.
Yeah, as far as I know, Activision does not have – like a location.
Well,
at
E3. So is this a fact or you think so?
Well, I've heard from multiple sources that they do not have a booth. Yeah. We'll have to look at the show floor plan to be finalized.
They just released the map.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I've been to like whatever 16 or 17 E3s. It is a little confusing this year because the way it rolled out was like first EA kind of like upset things, quote unquote, of saying, well, you know what, we're not really going to be there, but we're going to be there next door. And we're like, how is that going to work? Mm-hmm. And isn't, you know, the ESA going to be mad? And then it turned into, we're doing a live event. And then it was like E3 Live is a thing with all publishers. And so I think we talked about that too.
I was getting a little nervous when I'm like, EA will not have a booth. And you're like, are you sure?
I know,
and I'm like, oh, God. Am I sure?
Yeah.
That's don't know. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure they don't.
Yeah. No, EA is doing EA Play, which is at LA Live next door, which is
where
a public-facing event.
Yeah.
Which is... real dumb in my mind.
Whatever. There's
we're going to find out more next. The point of it is, we're going to find out more next week. As for all these reveals before E3, I'm with Sean. I wish they would wait. I like big surprises at
E3. I mean, it's cool that they're doing it. Don't get me wrong. I just, like, in my head right now, not knowing what they're going to reveal at all or what they were going to reveal at E3, I just don't know what you reveal during a pre-E3 live stream that doesn't take away from whatever you were going to reveal at E3.
Well, I mean, again, don't underestimate the power of just making it a really big tease. You know, and it's like they literally might come out and they show you a little cinematic. They're like, I bet you'd like to see some gameplay. You know, that's absolutely an option.
Sony's press conference.
Yeah, I mean,
this
as I think about it too, I think. That's a strong option too.
What if they don't have anything for E3? What if somebody, one of you guys said maybe they got pulled from Sony and Microsoft's stage, so they just don't have a slot? That happens in show planning sometimes.
It does, yeah.
They're like, we got to stream next week.
Yeah, I was just putting it out there as a variable for people to like marinate on. I don't think that happened at all. It is a big property. It's been really successful,
especially for Sony.
Between Sony and so
that's why I don't think that they would. Yeah. It wouldn't be a part of Sony's show. It's been every year since it was announced. Like they've obviously invested a lot of money into that partnership.
It's like tradition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
you got to have your Destiny trailer.
Well, that's the thing is, like, has Call of Duty ever not been part of an E3 press conference? It's funny because now it's part of Sony's as it used to be part of Microsoft's, but it's always there.
Well, let's put it this way.
Huge
Don't
property.
Worry. They're definitely not going to show up at E3 and they're like, well, you already saw this and it's shoved in some, like, montage reel.
Yeah.
It will be a big thing there in some capacity, whether it's a first look at a strike or first gameplay or just, like, a really big trailer. And we'll dissect the crap out of it. It'll be the first time we see little pieces of things. There will be plenty at E3. I'm very confident in that.
Well, moving on, let's talk about Destiny in its current state and some of the improvements we'd like to see. Let's start with Xur. Mm. And Sean, how do you think they should fix him? Because right now he shows up every weekend and he's like, hey, I got some exotics. They'll take your strange coins. All right.
That sounds
maybe your three
like
coins.
So.
He's not really exciting anymore. How do they spice him up a little bit again?
Double the exotics.
Give him some new clothes.
Twice as many exotics.
Twice as many.
More worms on his face.
I don't know. I mean, Xur is one of those things where it's like, I get why they changed him before. They don't want people that they don't want players to think of that Xur being the primary way of getting exotics. So I get why they kind of like nerfed that.
Did they get rid of him?
No, but they kind of switched out his inventory so that what he has and like the legacy engrams. Like, I don't know, has anyone ever bought one of those?
It's pretty, well, no. That's the thing. It's a solution for newer players getting into the game, which totally works.
Why would you ever buy them though? They're worse than the blues you can get at the beginning of the game.
Because you want, like, you want Thorn still, right? And so I'm pretty sure that'll drop in legacy, right?
No, that's a quest.
Thorn is a quest now?
Yeah, Thorn's always been a quest line. You gotta go kill the big ogre and everything and kill the witch.
Oh, that's, you're right. Yeah. Right, it is. But for the stuff like whatever, Hawkmoon then.
Yeah.
You want to get Hawkmoon and, well, you get the year two version.
Yeah, see the problem?
Yes, but there's still, we'd have to go back like over year one weapons now is why I'm like hesitant. I'm like, okay, what's left from year one other than
not a lot.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
They're not going to fix them in Destiny 1. I'm talking Destiny 2. And my idea for Xur is to have the player need to go through some sort of trial to be able to access Xur. Like, right now you just walk up to him and buy something. Yeah, something like that would be kind of interesting. Like, a story quest where you actually have to achieve something to be able to buy these coveted items from this cool weekend merchant.
But I did want to finish that thought. Sorry. Like, Pocket Infinity was the example I was searching for. So, fine. You want to get Pocket Infinity, right?
Have it.
Yeah, and I have it too. No way, it's great. But that's a reason to use Legacy Engram for new players, but also as a faster way to acquire, hopefully, some of the exotics that are dropping that aren't, you know, as quest-based. So it's good for that, but you're right. I don't think that's a great – doesn't help us.
Yeah.
And so you're saying you want them to be, like, giving out quests and stuff?
I think it'd be cool. I mean, that's not a bad idea, right? Not necessarily quests, but like, what if you had like weekly bounties that you could use, that you could complete to up your rep?
It's like, one of my agents of nine have been taken captive. I need you to go save him, and if you do, I'll unlock this super item this week.
That sounds pretty cool.
You know, something like that.
Mine was way more. Mine's way more simple. We already see it in the game, right? Like, look, treat him like the gunsmith or like the cryptarch, right? Like
where you take quests or
you take quests or bounties every week and you complete those and you complete them for rep and probably like legendary engrams or something as a reward. Mm-hmm. And then the higher your rep goes, the more chance you have at getting exotics you don't have or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
in addition to
that makes sense.
In addition to the inventory he already has, you know, you get like an engram for that's, you know, comes in your postmaster or something like that.
I'm hoping for dramatic changes to just the whole world of Destiny when Destiny 2 rolls around.
The only change I really, really want, Bungie, is stop kicking me out of my menus when I'm flying places.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know exactly when it's going to happen.
Oh, there's a countdown timer. I can't go
into
my menu.
It'll happen like five times, by the way.
Yeah.
Or like how many times I have to press the button to get back into the menu after you've booted me out of it. Like,
yeah. Little quality of life things.
I know when the game's starting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to switch my weapons because I just saw the map.
Yeah.
Or maybe let me know what map it is during the 30-second load time that it takes to get in there.
Yeah.
Little things like that I think would make the experience a lot better.
Wait, did we solve Xur?
That's not a Xur thing, though.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about changes. You said changes to Destiny 2, right? Like,
no, we were just going to talk about Xur for a few,
good segue. Yeah, he was just segueing into larger overall changes. What are your Xur thoughts?
I was mostly going to agree.
You were hung up on the Legacy Engram, so...
No, yeah, I'm done with that.
All right.
It was that I don't like quests, honestly. Like, I still haven't got Chaperone.
You just want to walk up, hit square.
I like quests. I think we need more quests.
I should say I'm okay with quests as long as they are not a grind. They have to be fun. They've got to be cool, and that's why Black Spindle is cool. Mm-hmm. It totally works. I like actually No Time to Explain overall. That is a good quest line, even if it's a pain in the neck, but it's cool. Like, within reason, it's fun. Like, go back to the vault, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'd be okay with that, but I was just going to say I like the idea that he just somehow, in the same way like 3 of Coins is supposed to be that device to increase your chance to get something you don't have, just tweak that a little bit, to
I don't love that system
have
either.
Him, but to have him be a real reason to go back every week and be like, using Jade Rabbit as an example, right? Like, it took me a while to get frickin' Jade Rabbit, and I was waiting for it to drop. And so can Xur somehow help that without him only selling it? Right? Can he, to your point, can he increase your chance by you, maybe it is rep or maybe it's a quest or it's a drop. Yeah. Maybe you, exactly it. He gets a rep, level. And so with each one, you get like anything out there, you get a chance of
like
an exotic drop or something. I don't
that's
know.
Actually a really cool idea, right? Like, what if you have to hit a certain level of rep in order to unlock the ability to do a quest? that gives you a reward that's an exotic you definitely don't have. That would be cool, right?
Depends on what the quest is, man.
It's but I mean, okay. We can.
I don't want to grind the Crucible for 7 hours with Last Word.
A well-designed quest. I think that kind of goes without saying, though. Like, hey, don't make them garbage, please, you know.
But your version of what garbage is versus
Agents
mine is
of
different.
Nine has been captured. I need you to go collect 200 spin metal in the Cosmodrome.
Yeah, exactly.
One of which will contain the exactly. Like, of All course right. we don't want that. No. You know.
Yeah,
I'm
like just saying,
interesting narrative-driven plot lines.
Yeah. We're probably on other sides of the table here, but
we are.
I don't think there's that many great quests. So
not currently. Like it, hopefully that's improved with the sequel. They have new writers.
When Taken King first released, I was so stoked about the quests, and I churned through them because I thought they were awesome. Like, I want just more of that stuff. Like, more reason to kind of get out and do different things is an awesome thing. That's what makes MMOs super cool. Not that this is an MMO.
Maybe you do these quests one time, then you don't have to do them again. There's a lot of solutions there, you know.
The weird part is, like, at first I was really against what I felt like was ruining Xur, and he wasn't selling anything I needed, and there was nothing new. And there will be new exotics that I think you get a little bit of a return. You always get that in the first, like, few months that he's always actually making
Ooh, a new exotic? All right, I can buy it from Xur. Yeah.
But with Taken King, that's the point. They turned almost everything into quests or, like, special lines and stuff where you had to acquire it, and so there, you know, wasn't that useful.
It's weird that I have to buy a thing from Xur for a chance at getting an exotic. Like, it just seems a weird economy decision they made.
Well, for sure, and that's what I was going to say. I've gotten very used to the fact that, like, quite honestly, other than Xur selling, like, some Three of Coins...
I just pick up Three of Coins every week.
And the Silver Needles, like, that's fine. I've gotten very used to it. I don't really need Xur as long as, like, getting exotics is just done right. You know? Like, Jade Rabbit and – or even just drops. I mean, it's not exotic.
I still
exotic,
have a truth.
Yeah. You don't. Well, but see, there's your – so you're explaining why Xur works for you. He sells truth, Sean. So
I know that, but he hasn't sold truth in a long time.
I know, but my point is – so that's where I think it totally works. Sorry, I wasn't actually mad at you. I was just defending the idea that, like, they had that idea. It does work, but for, like, new exotics and all these new quests. I like quests. We want to be good quests. I think we agree that's actually – the right way to do it, because you're not just, like, waiting forever. You're in control.
Yeah, do something.
For the most part, if you want sleep your simulate, you're in control. So, like, go do it. And as long as it's fun, I'm down for that. But make sure that it's fun. And then that's why, again, for me, for Xur, it's like, I'm fine with him mostly as is. But, yeah, it'd be nice if you added something new.
A layer.
Like, a mechanic,
something like even a rep layer, I think, is really smart. I don't know how that plays into the exotic world, but I think there's something there that I'm like, cool, I got my bounties from Xur this week or whatever. And make that, I don't know, just intrinsic to what he can offer. So.
There you go, Bungie. Go ahead and make Xur better. I mean, that's all you really needed, right? We fixed everything. Just kidding. We totally didn't. The final topic I wanted to talk about is the lore of Destiny. There's this game out right now called Overwatch.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, never. It's a new shooter made by made by an indie company, Blizzard. Maybe you've heard of them. Sarcasm. Anyway, the way they handle their lore is through, like, the animated shorts that they release. We learn more about Winston and some of the other characters in that product. And a lot of the lore is just kind of on their website, and people are eating it up. They're really digging the...
It's a lot of in-game storytelling, too.
Yeah, a lot of the in-game storytelling. And
what is the in-game storytelling, though?
Well, like characters will make comments to each other.
Environmental storytelling.
While you're running.
Past lore and stuff.
Right. But it's like in multiplayer matches where you're running by each other and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Well, so I haven't caught that yet. I played for several hours now. Mm-hmm. Give me an example. Like, Tracer yells at McCree, and it's like
Genji
a storyline.
Genji and the other
Hanzo.
Genji and Hanzo say stuff to each other. They hate each other.
But I'd have to be in a match
Aren't
with
they
you.
Brothers?
They are. Yeah,
you have to play in a match together to find out. Is that how it works? I'd have to be in a match, and they're both in, and like,
Vince and
is
Genito
it like in the
are...
beginning of the game, or do I have to be like in proximity? To
you would have to get specifics from Vince and Genito. This is the Destiny show. I don't know every aspect about Overwatch, but Vince was talking about it today, and that's kind of where this subject came up. So they handle lore very similar to how Destiny handles lore.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of wondering. Yeah, in a similar sort of vein. And I'm wondering, why is Destiny getting such a hard time for it, and people are eating it up with Overwatch?
I'm just as confused as you.
Yeah.
I love Blizzard cinematics, though. I can say that. And there's more material there, I believe, than like that one, the Queen cinematic that we got is like awesome. Like,
yeah.
That's it. I think Blizzard probably did a little better job there.
Oh, well, their cinematics are phenomenal.
But meaning in terms
for
of quantity.
Years, Blizzard cinematics have been
they
amazing.
Set the bar.
But meaning I haven't watched them all yet, but you can find them.
On IGN, you can watch the Overwatch movie, which is all the cinematics that have been released in one video. I watched it for 30 minutes, and I was hooked. It's like a Pixar movie.
And there you go. That's my point. You have like 30 minutes. That's the number I was looking for of like all that footage. And like we got probably what? 90 seconds or 2 minutes of so big difference in that amount. So I think that goes a long way.
If we put together all the Destiny cinematics, we'd probably get 30 minutes.
So here's the thing. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, Blizzard was clear that Overwatch was a multiplayer only experience.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas the expectation for Destiny was that you could jump into this game by yourself and experience a deep and nuanced story with characters and all that stuff and have this world and this universe fleshed out for you. Mm-hmm. So I really think it comes down to expectation is that, Destiny isn't just a multiplayer game, you know? Like, there's a lot of stuff you do by yourself.
Nor is that
the expectation's been established that you just get storytelling that way.
Yeah, nor is that what people expect from Bungie. So I see your point.
Exactly.
You know, they expect superb storytelling from Bungie, which is one of their company's goals, you know?
So. That's true. Actually, I think that's a very good way to put it, is the expectation, which we saw with Destiny across the board. People, like, thought, follow-up to Halo, better than ever, better, the best thing Bungie's ever done in terms of everything they've accomplished from multiplayer to story to world. And and then when it came out and it was grindy and the story wasn't clear and actually kind of got blown up apparently, your expectations were so high that people were just pissed.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's a good point. Like, people, like, Overwatch, like, nobody understood. It was a bunch of weird-looking characters, and your expectation was totally not there.
Yeah.
And I think you're
then
right.
Then you play it, the gameplay is really good, and you're surprised. Like, I want to know more about my favorite character, Bastion. I want to know more about this character. And they Google it.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. It's like, combat. The way you consume the lore in Destiny and in Overwatch is different, right? Like, in a game like Overwatch that was marketed as being multiplayer first, what hooks players is going to be the game mechanics and how interesting the characters are and the abilities and how it all works together, the gameplay, right? Whereas in order to get into the gameplay of Destiny, the hook was the story and the universe. That's how it was marketed, right? Explore this whole world by yourself or with your fire team. This
and people
ancient
felt
race
betrayed
of aliens,
when,
you know, the darkness, all this cool stuff about how humanity had fallen from its once high perch and all that stuff. And questions that have still not been answered today, right? That is kind of the hook that gets you into the super awesome mechanics and gameplay of Destiny, whereas the other, like within Overwatch, it was just kind of marketed totally different from the outset. So that expectation was different.
So we're talking about...
You can talk about how both games have similar mechanics by including storytelling outside of the game, like on Blizzard's side, or, you know, the Bungie's Grimoire cards, but if the expectation is different, then you can't really compare those things apples to apples,
now,
right?
It's funny. When you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's totally a matter of expectation. Yeah. And so one is surprise and like, ooh, I can't believe they did. Oh, that's so cool. And, oh, they're your brothers, and that's cool. Like, no expectation. Whereas, man, Bungie got skewered for the expectation.
Expectation really was up here, and then they delivered kind of down here.
And we see that. We see that a lot in games.
Yeah, because think about what if the expectation was that, okay, there is a single-player campaign, and you could play as one of those brothers, and what you would hope for was a 1 to 2 hour mission that told the story of why you hate your brother or why I betrayed you and stuff, and you don't get that. You would see a similar sort of outcry.
Yeah.
But
they never marketed
it
that way.
Yeah, it was never told.
It's supplemental.
That.
So, like, you have this fantastic multiplayer thing with this deeper story that you can read about if you want to, but that's not what we're building here. Well, we're building a competitive shooter.
It's a Blizzard PvP game, you know?
Yeah.
So, the expectation was not, campaign was not really a word uttered there, right?
Yeah.
So,
never
that's
was,
the big difference.
All right, so it was
no campaign expectation.
Yeah. Looking forward to Destiny 2, how should they handle the story? Should they abandon Grimoire altogether in these supplemental pieces or keep them there, but just make sure? I mean, I think they keep them there. They keep them
Grimoire's
there, but
great.
They have a fantastic story. I've said it a million times. I've said it a million times. In Destiny 2, they need to have a fantastic story. If they don't, that property is going to be in trouble.
That is a good idea.
I mean,
listening, Bungie. Awesome story.
If
in your
you
game.
Seriously think people will stick around or like come back for Destiny 3 if the narrative is yet again, they've lost anybody interested in any divine storytelling.
What I was getting at is like, I assume that story was very important to them. And in the process of trying to put all this together, I mean, it just totally fell apart.
Yeah.
And I think the idea behind the Grimoire is absolutely fine. I would keep it. Like, actually, I love that. Like, go deeper. And if you didn't know, I know everything about Praedith. Like, that's awesome. However, I don't want to feel like, there's no awesome story. story at the core. Like, I don't want to have to look at Grimoire. And that's what we always talk about. I want to go to a website. I don't want to read bios in the game, like, just when I play it. And whether it's character interaction plus cinematics. And I really think they need, like, quadruple the cinematics, let's call it.
Yeah.
That would go a really long way. A couple really big events to tell a story of, well, really getting to the raid each time in the game and a few other pieces. Like, actually, if you remember, you know, like, that's what was confusing. We kept seeing what's her name? She showed up with the gun.
The stranger.
The stranger, yeah. She, like, kept showing up, and then you were like,
right as she shows up. And the game gets interesting. That's when it ends.
You're very confused. And so anyway, you get the point is they just need to flesh out a few of those moments but complete those thoughts. And then it'll be, honestly, really cool material in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we talk about it a lot on the show, but The Taken King did a lot of things really well. Like, it developed characters. There was a good amount of cinematics. There was a clear goal that you were trying to strive towards. All I want is that, but just three times the amount of it.
Yeah.
Like, I want an 18-hour campaign.
Oof.
For Destiny 2.
That'd be great.
With a fully fledged story, beginning, middle, end.
It's an MMO, dude. Oh, yeah. 18 hours
sorry,
is
you said
not
Destiny
unheard
2.
Of.
I thought you were saying Horizon.
Sorry, shared world shooter marketing people. It's an MMO.
Yeah, Destiny 2. We were talking about Destiny 2. You said Destiny 2. Yeah, that's what I want for Destiny 2. 18-hour campaign with missions, characters, a beginning, middle, and end, a clear goal to strive towards with, you know, a clear conflict that I feel engrossed in and that I feel like personally me, the Guardians, have to figure out.
Yeah. Branching narratives for classes is something I really want. I want to know more about just the Hunter world
they
and
did,
just the Warlock and just the Titan world.
They did, like, such a small amount of that in Taken King, but it was really effective, like, how you get your new class.
Yeah,
like that was super cool. Like doing the hammer, like all
you
that
learn history about the hammer who wielded
that
it first. That
super
was cool.
Yeah, like the Sunbreakers are some ancient class of Titans that have been around since the beginning.
More of that.
Like that was super cool. More of that. And then also the other thing I really wanted was you got to bring the Grimoire cards in the game. That's my biggest thing is I don't mind there being Grimoire cards. Like I brought it up on a previous
the
episode.
Mass Effect Codex.
Exactly. Mass Effect's Codex. Yeah. I spent hours reading that thing because it was awesome. But the
and
reason
funny
I could do
sometimes,
it is because I could just press start, go to the Codex, and read about some cool thing that I had just discovered. Yeah.
You know where else is a great time for that is the loading screens. It's what everybody does. Like, just pull that. Everybody does that in
game
design.
That's so true. Yeah. What if just when you're loading in, Grimoire cards kind of just pop up?
Yep.
Or, like, your ship's flying in. Your ship's flying in, and, like, maybe dialogue is delivered between two people on your ship or something. Like, your ghost and you could talk, and your ghost could give you information about the world.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be careful of that stuff because it gets repetitive.
Not if you have 500 grimoires to randomize, and there's a sequence of code in there that says, don't repeat your entries.
Your dialogue then flying into places.
Yeah, have an option to turn it off.
You know what else gets repetitive, Fran? Watching the same flying in animation a thousand times.
Yeah. No, I know, but it was
not being able to do anything.
Whether we wanted it or not, we've stepped into a war with the Cabal.
That's
right.
Amazing.
We all know that one, and it comes up a billion times when you play Valis. I was just saying you don't want that effect.
Yeah,
but the Grimoire cards just being available would be killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have read so much. Like, and then Bife can read to me live.
Yes, that's my thing.
I just don't want to have to jump
out of the game and go on the internet to read them.
Yeah.
Like, just let me do it in game.
I think everybody feels that way. It's a tactic, it feels like, unfortunately, to send you to your app. I love that they're in the app.
Yeah.
I'm never going to read them there. Like,
I'm not going to look at my phone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I think that actually is a huge improvement that is really easy to communicate a ton of the story. And, yeah, that's why it occurred to me, too. I'm surprised we never talked about it. There are so many games, right, where the top third just has a little bit of, like, it either has tips or it has, like, story stuff and you get the idea. Like, I don't... add that in. That would solve a lot. You could show a Grimoire card, actually, that you can zoom in on.
Did you know that the Krogan, blah, blah, blah.
But it could be really easy. Like, it could be the look of it, right, with some of the info that you could just read, or you could zoom in on it, maybe. Or
it's also, like, a really funny way to add, like, levels of humor and storytelling, right? Like, in Mass Effect, there's this one alien race that, like, they're super monotone.
Yeah.
And they're very bad at expressing their feelings.
Surprise tone.
Yeah,
who are you talking about,
Finnegan?
But then
you meet one who's like a famous actor, and you're like, wait, how is that? You can't it's super
And then there's
funny,
this whole hidden audio log that you can find. It's like an Easter egg in the game, and it's like 5 episodes of Blasto and the jellyfish or whatever his name was. Yeah.
That's I love awesome. Environmental yeah. storytelling yeah. like that. Like, if you guys played Quantum Break.
I was going to say, I didn't get far enough into it yet, but I've seen
yeah,
some
yeah.
of that
the
already.
The short story
yeah,
that's
so
written.
If yeah. you haven't played Quantum Break, I'm not going to tell you what the spoiler is. This isn't a spoiler, but there are these environmental objects, right, mm-hmm. that you can pick up and they tell you more about the world. Mm-hmm. And it's like usually emails between characters who yeah. you don't yeah. see in the game or NPCs mm-hmm. or stuff like that. But there's one guy who works
Time
for
knife.
Monarch Solutions who's like a screenwriter or an aspiring yeah. screenwriter. And
he's
you can find
good.
These objects that are the first like third or second third and final third of his screenplay. And it's this time travel screenplay. And it's so bad and so yeah. funny. So
Time Knife and Time Gun.
Yeah.
We did a piece on
We did
that.
A dramatic
on
reading. We did a dramatic yeah. reading of it. Alana, Mitch right. before he left, and Marty did it together. And it is hilarious. So
unlocked?
Check it out.
Yeah, it's
unlocked. Yeah,
unlocked.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
unlocked.
Yeah, that's actually how I learned about that. I started watching it. I was like, wow, this is...
It's really funny.
I thought it was... I didn't quite get it. I thought it was something stupid that Mitch wrote, actually.
No, yeah.
That then you guys were going to read, and then he's like, no, this is from the game. I was like, wow.
It's in the game. It's written by a character in it.
It's really, really funny.
It's hilarious.
It's super awesome. And there's just like opportunities to do more of that in Destiny, right? Like, imagine, you know, imagine in that scene, that really memorable scene where Cade's like, get your rock off my map. Like, imagine if you could find his map later or see it in the tower and just take a closer look and there's little notes on it and like they're making fun of each other or whatever. Like, that's the kind of storytelling I would like to see more of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great. That's all we have time for today,
Cade,
though.
We are not yet finished with this discussion.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to do his line.
I don't know what it,
Remember,
what is it
get
again.
Your rock off
oh,
my,
get your rock off my map.
Make sure you watch
I'm not
our
impression.
Oh, it was brilliant. The live reading. We like to pimp that occasionally. It's on the Fireteam Chat YouTube channel.
I think that was like your favorite thing.
Oh, it was the best.
That this show's done.
Yeah, totally random, by the way, but fine. It's relevant. Yeah. We'll finish. I was streaming last weekend or earlier this week or whatever, and Morla Gorondona, Eris herself, like, is in the chat all of a sudden. Like,
really?
Hey, friend, what's up? Because we go way back. But it threw me for a loop. I was like, wait, you're watching me play Destiny right now? And she's like, yeah. Like, I think she was eating breakfast or something and just, like, hopped in because I put it on Twitter. Anyway, it was
breakfast.
Hilarious.
Why were you streaming so early in the morning?
It was rare. It was, like, a Sunday morning. And I was like, all right, I'll stream, you know.
Cool.
Or I was eating breakfast at 3 p.m., one of the two.
Yeah.
No. In any event, it was hilarious. But I talked to her about getting her back on, and we should totally do that. She's down in L.A. now, I think. So maybe we'll have her in the L.A. studio.
Man, maybe if we go to L.A. soon, we could figure something out where she could be on the show.
I know. If only there was a big event that we could all go to. But anyway, that was really cool news. We'll get her back on the show.
If only we could just move the whole video team to,
and
to L.A.
Let's get Zavala in here, too.
Oh, that would be
the same
fantastic.
Time. I'd love to see
Why stop there? Let's
together.
Get Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Get the whole cast.
If you're watching, Fireteam Chat would love to have you. We could produce a live reading of some of these iconic scenes.
If he's watching. What's up, Nathan? Like, what's going on? He always watches. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, guys, we got to wrap it up. So, until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.